don't know. That being said, I'm not going to put any of this in the show now.
Yeah, that's a...
I got it. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I just like looking at that girl. And then I looked down to see what she was talking about and instantly regretted it.
Are you watching?
I'm scrolling down Facebook trying to figure out what I want to call the show and trying to put together show notes.
Yeah.
Foe more important than magic? Fuh. Fuh.
Like.
Fuh.
Pronounced F-A. Fuh.
Fuh.
Yeah, it's food.
Food. Can we just say food?
No, because it's a specific type of food.
Okay. So, this specific type of food is more important than magic?
It appears so.
It appears
yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Oh, we're off to an amazing show. That's the subtitle, I guess, huh?
Off to an amazing show.
This show is going to be the best. Around. In that case, I'm just going to scroll through my Facebook here and pick a title.
I got it.
Team Iron Man. Oh.
Look at that.
Oh, so that's the title. Foe More Important Than Magic. And subtitle is Off to an Amazing Show.
Fuh.
That's what I said.
I said foe.
Foe.
It's fuh.
Foe, sure.
Fuh, show.
Fuh, show.
Fuh, show.
Okay. It's fine. Whatever Travis said. Hello. I'm Samus. He's Travis. I'm just going to start the podcast in the middle of the show notes, and hopefully we'll get a show out of it.
Dude, that's how I run through life. Just, well, already here. Let's go with it.
I know. We had a debate, and I don't necessarily know if I want to get into the course of the debate.
We had a debate?
We did. We had a debate on the Facebook, where I was trying to compliment you on the fact that you've adjusted your life to where you're happy.
Uh-huh.
And you're kind of making progress on the things that you feel are important. And I think that's something that you've kind of come to the conclusion to over, I don't know, I would say like the last probably 5 years. I think I've seen this change in you. Where, I mean, it's not a secret. You had your substance abuse issues in the past. And you're like, I'm tired of this. I'm going to live my life happy. I'm going to do the things that make me happy. And I think chaos is a little bit of the factor in your
happiness.
In your happiness. Yeah. You know, like, oh, I'm going to randomly do this thing now. La-da-da-da-da. Ooh, shiny over here. La-da-da-da-da. I think that comes across quite a bit with you.
Yeah. I can see that.
So, I think that's pretty cool. Not everyone can do that. I can't do that.
Well, and I'm not the only one in my family that does that. My little sister, she's kind of the same way. She's kind of a free spirit, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah? Can I get her phone number?
No.
Ah! Why do you hate me, Travis? Yeah, no, I understand what you're talking about. It's a challenge sometimes to live kind of as a free spirit. And when you find those people who can do it, it's pretty amazing. I hope to figure it out soon.
Well,
I hope to be a totally free spirit in a couple of years.
It's either, you know, amazing or people just get really irritated by you.
Well, a little bit of both.
Because, I mean, you're just kind of like, no, I'm going to do this thing. And they're just kind of jealous because you don't give a damn about your bills.
I feel you. I mean, you gotta pay your bills.
I don't have to.
You still have to live your life correctly and be a useful and helpful member of society.
There was one time I didn't pay bills for like 4 months.
Okay. There was times I didn't pay bills when I was a kid.
Oh, no, I was an adult.
No, I've always paid my bills when I was an adult.
Also homeless, so.
Even when it's been a real issue. Yeah, I don't know. Shall we hit troll cards?
Yeah.
Or should we just ramble some more? I think people love it when we ramble.
Well, I mean, I'm Yeah.
I mean, I don't actually know. I need to get, we need to do, like, some surveys or something.
I think that would be great if I didn't drop those $400 that I just dropped.
Of Magic the Gathering cards?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you're the best.
It's going to suck because they fell underneath my seat and it's a rolling chair.
Oh, you're doomed.
I'm just not going to move for the next hour and a half.
And then you're going to forget, and then you'll run them over and you'll crunch them and you'll be like, no.
Yep. Story of my life. Ruin things.
So like I'm playing with my little Lego Iron Man right now.
What?
My little Lego Iron Man.
Oh.
While we're recording this show. And my little Lego War Machine. So what's your troll card here? I see the words always watching.
Yes.
Is this one of the new cards?
It is.
From Shadows over Innistrad?
It is the one where it gives your non-token creatures +1/+1 in vigilance.
Oh, I saw that.
And I plan on putting that with Assault Formation.
Why?
Because Assault Formation has a bunch of big butts, and what's scarier than that is giving them vigilance.
Okay.
I think the only creature, or the only token creature that I produce in that deck, well, once a rotation happens, will be, what, the Linvala? Yeah, Linvala will be my only token that I make, so everything else will be, you know, just really beefy mono. It's, the deck is essentially mono white up until sideboard.
That's true, there's no tokens in there.
No. Well, Linvala, currently there's Wingmate Rocks and Mastery of the Unseen.
Right.
But, well, obviously,
well, Mastery,
those are going
Mastery
away.
Mastery Unseen's don't make... True, but just to be clear, those are not...
tokens.
Tokens, yeah. Manifest things are not tokens. So it would get the bonus, but again, probably not going to stick around. Excuse me. Oh, crud. Like, we've got some weather coming in, so my nose is acting up a little bit. I took a big breath there. And it, like, hit the wrong spot and needed me to turn that into a yawn. Now I have to cough. Be right back.
Okay.
Jeesh. All right. Wow. Weird moments of history right there. Yeah, I think this would actually be a really good card, this Always Watching. I was watching Conley Woods. He did a couple of videos over on TCG Player, set review. I haven't gone through all of it yet. But I was going through the white, and it was definitely one of the cards that he highlighted.
Right.
And I was pretty impressed with it.
Quit yawning all the time.
I'm sorry, man. Like,
I forgive
I took
you.
That I took that too big of a breath, and now my lungs are like, oh, we're supposed to have this much air now. And I'm like, I can't breathe that much and talk. Stop. Anyway, yeah, no. I think it's a pretty exciting card. Would you like to hear about my troll card?
Yeah.
Because I think this is... Mine is an old card. As you guys know, I typically... When I go to draft or whatever event that I'm playing over the weekend is kind of where I take my troll cards from. And the reason why is because I try to find the things that like tilt my opponent out or... tilted me out, because that's the, you know, personal experience, I think, is a big deal when it comes to picking out your troll cards. So this week we did, my local shop did a, I don't want to say a throwback draft, but kind of. We did Dragons, or Fate, Dragon, Dragons? Dragon, Dragons, Fate? Yeah, Dragon, Dragons, Fate. And my first pick was a foil Sarkon.
Nice.
So I took it. I didn't even, you know, I didn't even, like, look back or whatever. And then we kind of continued through the things. And somewhere in the course of event, I get past a Clone Legion, which is my troll card. And I'm like, sure, that sounds good. And I'm, like, sitting there going, man, I hope I can get something to make this do some work. Like, I'm taking the exploit creatures and stuff like that. And then Maverick, my opponent on the right, we move into pack three, and he passes back-to-back. What is the 2-2 that bounces a creature or puts a 1-1 counter on it? It's a flyer. I can't think of what it's called off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
Something Aven, I think. Anyway, so I get past two of those.
When?
Two flying Llanowar, Mana Wars. And I'm like, yes, now I have something to combo with this Clone Legion like nobody's business. So, at least one game, I played two of those guys. And then was able to clone Legion, copying mine, because it says each creature target player controls put a copy on the battlefield. You don't have to copy an opponent's. You can do yours. So I was able to boomerang their entire field with these 2-2 flyers, and then basically was able to just wait a turn and then, you know, do 8 points of flying damage the next turn for the game. Clone Legion is a pretty interesting card, I think, especially in the decks that have the big mana. There's a lot of big mana decks right now. It does cost 9, which is pretty high. Blue and 7, but I think the power level is there. And every time I played it, I just won the game. So, and that's what you want a 7-mana spell to, or a 9-mana spell to do, especially in limited.
Right.
So I would strongly suggest checking it out. And I might do a little bit of brewing around it this week and see what I can come up with. Either doing more exploit creatures or something to kind of take advantage of it. I feel like it's one of those cards that, with just a little bit of work, could really do some serious damage. And how many people are going to be like, what does that card even do?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was between that or there's that 2-5. Or no, sorry. That or the enchantment, I think we've talked about it before. I think it's called Side of the Gale Lords. If your creatures have toughness greater than 4, all those creatures get +2/+2 in vigilance till end of turn, giving your combat step. I got one of those relatively early, so I was taking things like the 0-4, the boomerang guy, very early. I took all the 2-4s that exploit to look at the top 4 cards of your library, pick one, put the rest in your graveyard. Like, I took all of those kind of things, and they all did a ton of work. Like, the ability to basically play an early blocker that out of nowhere becomes, you know, a 2-6 vigilant attacker, or a 4-6, or I had the Black Death Touch guy for 4. That's 2 or a 2-5, I think, with Death Touch.
Okay.
And that guy just went to town on people's faces. Like, he was basically unblockable and unkillable. I mean, as a 4-7 death touch. It was pretty amazing. So, it's a toss-up between Clone Legion and that. But I think, since we've definitely talked about the other one before, I wanted to talk about Clone Legion. And we're going to have a couple more months with Clone Legion in the format. We just need to figure out how we can abuse it. It is a mythic.
And that one just makes the copy, right?
It just makes a copy for each creature target player controls, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that creature.
Because I think there's one similar to that in Shadows. Like, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not 100%. It does exactly that.
It does, okay.
But it is green.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was actually thinking about a blue-green with the ramp doing some stuff.
Right.
So I might need to said I definitely need to take some time and go over the spoilers, both because, you know, I'm judging this weekend, so I need to make sure I know all the cards at least well enough to you know, have a general idea of what's going on, and then I need, of course, go through the rules text for everything that's coming up. But it definitely is going to be an interesting weekend. Lots of flavor.
Oh, definitely.
I'm skimming through the green cards right now, see if I can see something that kind of makes me think that's it. But I don't know. What do we want to talk about today? Other than that, like, did you get to play some Magic this weekend? I think you did, right?
Yeah. Okay, so actually played an FNM, and then also here the local community also has drafts on Monday. So now that I'm working 9 to 5, I can actually do both each week.
I think I figured out what you're talking about. You're talking about Second Harvest, right?
I believe so.
For each token you control, put a token into the battlefield.
Yeah, okay.
That's a copy of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you copy it, and then you copy it again?
Yeah.
For the low, low price of 13 mana?
Yeah, right.
All right, sorry. Continue with your awesome story.
So, on Monday night, you know, I drafted, and I ended up drafting mono black somehow. And it was mono black, and I did splash two sources of red mana, so that way I could activate the Blighted Gorge. And
okay,
the deck came out pretty sweet. I took second only because my opponent happened to have a Reality Smasher and two ways to regenerate it. So even though I spent like 8 different sources to try and kill it, he was still able to regenerate it and just run me over. And
yeah,
he did that both games.
Often is the way to just win.
Yeah. But there was one game that I was playing where my opponent thought he was going to destroy me, which I'm not going to lie, so did I. And he was at 6 life, and I was at 15. He top decked a Zada, and then he played Expedite on it, drawing 6 cards. And then he gave his team +6/+6, first strike, and trample. And then I ended up beating him because, well, I had Zulaport Cutthroat, 2 Eldrazi Scions, Blighted Gorge, and the ally that says tap target ally, or tap an untap ally you control, target player loses 2 life. So he swung, and I was able to deal 6 damage to him by sacrificing the 2 tokens to feed the Blighted Gorge. And I sacrificed the Blighted Gorge to do 2 more damage to him, and then I made him 2 life by tapping an untapped ally. And it was that was definitely the most memorable moment of that night.
So you definitely were able to just, like, squeeze it out, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous. Because I had Seagate Wreckage on the field, and I was like, what can I possibly draw to get out of this? And then I realized he was at 6, and, my brain decided to function properly, and I won. But then, let's see, Friday night, I went into FNM expecting not to win a single game because...
Which, to be fair, was your mission, right?
It was my mission. Our local judge, he's kind of a stickler, and he wants, you know, people to play decks that win and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I told him that I was going to make a deck with no win condition and then just draw out every single match just to spite him.
Nothing like making friends with the local judges.
He didn't believe me, so I ended up building a 70-card deck with my only win conditions being either they deck themselves in 53 turns. You know, granted, they don't have any additional draws or fetches and stuff like that. Or I would kill them with either shambling vent or hissing quagmire. The only issue with that is that they would both have to be in play at the same time in order for me to activate one. And I had no way to fetch them out of the deck.
Right.
So really the plan was just sit there and gain life. And then fog. Because there are actually... I had 13 fog sources in my deck. And then just board wipes. And it was a fun game. I ended up going 1, 2, and 2. One round that I won was because of a bye, which that really irritated me.
I did not want to win any Magic.
Right. Let's see. The two games I drew exactly because of the way I was planning on doing it. And that was just, well, stalling them for time by not doing anything. The two games that I lost, one of them was to Aristocrats because I couldn't get around the Zulaport Cutthroat, which, I mean, that's kind of a bummer. And then the other game I lost was to the Colorless Eldrazi deck. And that one was actually kind of funny, in my opinion, because he cast Ulamog, and he exiled my Shambling Vent and another land. And then the next turn, I, you know, wiped the board. So his next turn, he cast...
I don't think it matters that much.
Well, it's the Oblivion Sower, the one that gets all of your exiled lands
right.
to them. It does matter, because that's how he won the game.
No, because he had a... He was able to get your land.
Well, he exiled the top four and exiled the Hissing Quagmire. So he got both the Hissing Quagmire and the Shambling Vents. So he ended up... Like, the only way he could beat me, because I kept, you know, playing Fog and, you know, destroying all the creatures that he played, he ended up having to pay 8 mana to activate both of those creatures so that he could attack me for 4. And when I say 8 mana, it's because he had the land where you have to tap an additional mana in order to make any color you want. So he was paying 8 mana to make 2 creatures alive, or to make 2 man lands alive so he could attack me. And I lost that game.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. When you build a deck that you don't plan to have any win conditions, it's a real challenge to like build that deck. You know what I mean? Like, there was a whole series where the one win condition was, you know, basically just continuously to redo your deck with a, Elixir of Immortality?
Yeah.
Well,
I had the Elixir of Immortality and Lost in the Woods deck.
Right. I'm just saying that it sometimes your win conditions don't look like win conditions. And, you know, I don't know. It's weird. I will say I just purchased a modern deck, my first modern deck on Magic Online. Let's not get carried away. Thanks to our favorite website, other than SamusGrobo.com, MTG Goldfish.
I was going to say Pornhub.
No, what's Pornhub?
Oh, it's this amazing place. It's like YouTube, because you can watch all sorts of anime there.
Hmm.
And it doesn't get flagged, because people are like, what? Copyright infringement? Who cares about that?
Huh, weird.
Yeah.
No, this is a deck, the budget deck that Olive throughout, Saffron Olive throughout last week. Tulage Turbo Fog. It runs 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of fogs, so 16 fogs. Dictate a crew fix, Sphinx's Tulage, a Temple Bell, etc. I have yet to get to play it. I was going to play it yesterday on the morning stream, but I woke up again with the storm coming through and still being this time of the year where my throat kind of closes up and turns into snot.
Yeah.
It did that same thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to bed for an hour and see if it clears up. And then I woke up in an hour and it was even worse. And I'm like, okay, I'm not real sure how I'm still alive, but we're going to go back to bed for another hour and see if we can get through this. So I've yet to try it even. And I did change some things around without looking at it. I switched in some more Temples of Enlightenments and pulled out the Tranquil Coves, which may or may not turn out to be right or wrong. I don't know. But I don't know. I this, to me, feels like one of those decks that really doesn't have a win condition. But I just looked at it and went, you know what? I want to play this deck. I love the idea of 10 million fogs and Howling Mines and Dictate to Crucifix and just F you.
An inverter of truth.
No cards for you. Put all those things in the graveyard. Put them in the graveyard! The only thing this deck, excuse me, the only thing this deck doesn't have that I would like to see it run is the Painter's Servant. And maybe now that the Eldrazi deck is getting beaten, they'll come back down in price. Because, as you recall, we talked about Painter's Servant defeating the Eldrazi decks. And then we kind of talked and we made fun of each other and we're like, how does this do that? We're stupid. It must not do anything. Well, right. And then I reread the cards and I went, oh, duh, this is obvious. So the card that taps for 2 mana for Eldrazi spells specifically says colorless Eldrazi spells. So if all the Eldrazis have a color with Painter's Servant, you cannot tap that land for 2 mana. Because Painter's Servant makes them all have a color.
Right.
So I'm hoping that Painter's Servant will become cheap again, in which case I can run a couple of those in this deck and basically make everything that's not a land a set color, and therefore be able to basically mill people straight out of the game with Sphinx's Tutelage, especially in Modern, where people typically run a light land base.
Right.
So the only thing that'll be left with the Painter's Servant that stops Sphinx's Tutelage would be a land, because everything would be the same color. Everything would match. So, I don't know. Here's hoping. Or if you have a couple of Painter's Servants that you want to hook a guy up on Magic Online, let me know. And I'll be happy to take a look. So, let's talk about Shadows of Innistrad. Huh? You want to do that? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I like the idea of that, since I'm gonna be taking first place in a sealed event this weekend.
Oh, jeez. I hope to take first at one of the sealed events. I think we're giving away the little gold trophies again. I think we have a couple for this season. But, no, I want to talk about the intro packs. Let me get you a link here, good buddy.
Okay.
For the intro packs. Paste. Boom. Because I like doing these intro decks for new players. I think they're pretty good. And I don't know if any of these are worth buying and keeping. So we really didn't talk about this the last time around. Looks like we have 5 intro packs. We have one for each of the base colors. So a white, a blue, a black, a red, and a green, obviously. And each one's typically built around some sort of theme. So if we kind of take a quick look at the white one, It looks like it is actually blue-white. And it looks like it is built around drawing and discarding cards. And it takes the creature Drogskull Calvary. Is that even right? Do you even know if I'm saying that correctly?
Yeah.
It is a 4-4 for 7, white, white, and 5, with flying. Now, whenever another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 2 life. And then you can spend 4 mana to put a 1-1 white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield. This card seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is a card that I want to open in a limited environment. There's a couple other interesting cards in here. I'm trying to think what they were off the top of my head. Bound by Moon Sliver. For those of you who don't know, this is like a pacifism for 1 extra mana, but you can sacrifice a permanent to move it around. With all of the things that investigate in this format.
Oh my god, so many clues.
Yeah, you're going to have all these clues that you probably don't care about. And so you'll be able to sacrifice these clues. Because it doesn't say non-token. It just says sacrifice a permanent. So I think that could be quite good.
Oh, wow. It says or transform.
Yes, it also prevents them from transforming. So if you are playing it... And I think this will be a good card even in... constructed events. Because Jace is still going to be a popular card. Right? He's terrible.
Worst thing ever.
I think Liliana will probably see a big jump this set. So if you got them, keep them. If you don't have them, go get them now before the jump happens. Because you're going to have the ability to sacrifice creatures, and you're going to have token creatures to sacrifice. And I think that flipping her will be quite good. So that's the white one, which is really like a blue-white. The next one we have is called Unearthed Secrets, which is a blue base, blue-green. The big guy you're getting out of here is Nephilia Moondrakes. It's another 7 mana, 5-5 flyer. I guess the other one was a 4-4 flyer, right? Yeah. when it enters the battlefield, tap target creature. Target creature gains flying until end of turn. And then you can spend 6 mana, exile it from your graveyard. Creatures you control have flying until end of turn. So it's one of those things that does double work, you know, and it doesn't say as a sorcery or whatever, so you can, it's not like it can be countered or anything fancy. It could be stifled, but that would be it. So giving your having a 5/5 that they have to deal with, then once they do deal with it, You just build up your army, get your board stall working again, and then, boom, pay your mana, and your whole team has evasion. You can easily win the game in a limited environment. What else is going on here? The Tireless Tracker, I think, is going to be a popular card.
Yeah.
When a land enters the battlefield, investigate. When you sacrifice a clue, put a +1/+1 counter on it. I don't know if that's going to be that big of a deal, unless you're playing like the green-white deck with like the Bound of Moon Slivers and stuff like that, where you're sacrificing these clues.
Right.
Not necessarily for the 2 mana, but for other things. I don't know. This deck, on the other hand, other than those 2 cards, really doesn't make me randy.
No, I think, I don't know. Like, the more I look at all these cards, I can just see different... just different synergy with it. I think out of the intro packs so far, I like this one the most.
This green blue one?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So we scroll down to Vampiric Thirst. Traditionally, the black-based ones tend to be one of the more sought-after ones. Usually the blue and black have the tendency to be the high ones.
Right.
This has a Mad Prophet, which is 4 mana for a 2-2 with haste. Discard a card and draw a card by tapping it. I like that. That sounds pretty hot. Looks like that is a common. And then it runs Markov Dread Knight, which is 5 mana, black, and 3, for a flying 3-3. Pay a black and 2, discard a card, put 2 1-1 counters on him. That is very strong in this format. I was looking for a madness outlet that I like. This one could be quite strong, to be honest. Does this even have anything else in it? It's got Fiery Tempers. Fiery Tempers are a good card to have. But the rest of this, again, the rest of this deck I'm just not in love with.
Right.
But
it doesn't even have the, it doesn't even have the creature that says your vampires gain madness. There's not, like, I think that would make this deck go over the top.
Well, it also doesn't have the card that, you pay for madness and then you can, what is it, like, make a bunch of zombies or something?
Right.
Like, I'll spend 3, then pay 4 more, you know, or whatever. Like, okay, so you have 5, so you can make 2. So, realistically, the next turn you can make 3, I guess. But, like, make this thing a 5-5 and make 2 zombies, and I think you gain some life out of the deal. It seems like a fine card, or a fine use of this card, and it's not in here either.
Like, the deck has 19 vampires in it, and no way to madness them in.
Except for it.
Right. Like, yeah, there's just, I don't think that this is good enough.
I would probably not recommend this one to people to pick up. Angelic Fury, which is the Boros deck, known as the Red Deck. You've got the big guy out of this thing is the Flameblade Angel. Another 6 mana, red, and 4 for a 4-4 flyer. Whenever a source an opponent controls deals damage to you or a permanent you control, you may have Flameblade Angel deal 1 damage to that source's controller.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure I like this card. It seems good. I think if there's some way you can, like, flash it in, or, you know, kind of set it up in such a way where they're not expecting it. Like, maybe you're near parity and they're almost dead and they know you know that they've got to block all your things or they're going to die.
Right.
And then you just play this thing and attack anyway, and they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't, kind of situation. Looks like Lightning Axe is back. That's a good one. That's a good Madness Enabler. But again, the rest of this, besides the Angelic Purge, I'm not in love with. What's this Devil's Playground? 6 mana, red, and 4. Put 4 1-1 red devil creature tokens onto the battlefield. They have, when this creature dies, he deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
Yeah, so essentially it's a 6 mana, get 4 Goblin Arsonist.
Yeah, I don't think I like that either. So, yeah, I'm not pleased with that. I think of all the ones that I've looked at so far, the one that I like the best is probably that first one. The Ghost Tide would probably be the one that I'd suggest for newer players to pick up.
Right.
What would you say?
If
there's a new player saying, what should I get?
For new player, I would say
I mean, I get these kind of questions a lot. Okay, again, I work at the Magic Shop, right?
For the new player, I would go with Angelic Fury because it is the most straightforward one. It's just you get your creature down, you swing. For the new player, that's what I would suggest.
You've got all these crazy expensive spells. You just don't have all the... It's not like it's a creature deck that you're going to curve out.
No.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I agree. Oh, I guess technically we had one more. Maybe we should get this last one before we make our opinion. So the Horrific Visions is the green black. It's got groundskeepers, which are great. This blob thing that's, a green and 2 for a 3-3. If you have delirium and when it attacks, if there are 4 if you have delirium and it attacks, you get to put a 3-3 green ooze into play, tapped and attacking, which can be really exciting, but you have to have delirium.
Which, looking looking at the rest of the deck, it's pretty easy to do.
Well, I see some spells. I see an aura. I don't know.
This deck actually has the land fetch. It has the warp landscape. Has artifact, sorcery.
This has a lot of delirium cards in it.
Yep.
So, maybe it'll get there?
Well, it has... It even has Liliana's Indignation. Where you mill yourself.
Here we go. I guess I'm... We have one Wildfjord Scarrow. See, I've told us three artifacts, it looks like, so far. I mean, three artifacts, it looks like maybe four enchantments.
Right.
A couple of sorceries. Like, you're just getting to that point where it's going to be so difficult to make sure you have one of each piece in without some sort of fetch land or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets tough, I think.
Well, I think... I mean, it's doing what it wants to do without having
for a pre-made
intro
pack kind of thing. The reason I bring it up is because, again, I just get asked this question all the time. Like, what intro deck should I get to start with, and what do I think I should play? If I'm newer, maybe I'm not brand new, or maybe I've just always been a limited guy so far, and I'm not sure which deck to get. You know, they ask these questions, and I was like, yeah, well, come on. This or whatever, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you also have to take into consideration their overall personality and playstyle with...
Sure. Like, yeah, if you're like, oh, are you more of an aggressive player traditionally, or you like... You know, control strategies or removal or whatever.
Like if they've been playing sealed and they're more traditional, like or more aggro player, then I think they should get the either red white or red black deck. If you know they like the tricks and they can understand them, I'd say get the black-green or the blue-white deck.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, from my point of view, if you're going to get something to, like, learn to play with or work your way up a little bit, and then you're probably going to, like, tweak out and grow the list, I would still stick with that first one. Like, all the creatures in it are flyers, basically. It's got a strong token theme. It's got a heavy removal package. Like, it just feels better to me. And so, in a void, I think it would be the one that I would suggest. Even if you're an aggro player, like, you're still playing, like, flash flyers and reasonably costed removal spells and, I was going to say good costing flyers, but I've yet to see any. Oh, there's a 3-mana flyer. Another 3-mana flyer. So never mind. There's a couple of 3-mana flyers. You're not going to be doing a whole lot on turns 1 and 2. But, I mean, you can gain 5 life.
Right.
And,
that's a thing.
You know, you can blink a creature. And if it's a spirit, it gets a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, in a void, I would say go with that. I think they're all relatively pretty good, with the winner, in my opinion, probably the white-blue one. If you were going to pick a winner, what do you think you'd pick?
I'd go with the black-green one.
Black-green one. The other reason I bring it up is I'm one of those guys, typically I do this with the Versus decks, which we do have new ones out right now, I think, or almost out, Blessed and Cursed, I think is what it's called. I tend to buy all of these. I tend to buy all the theme decks. And I kind of just keep them all together in their original packaging. Because inevitably what happens is people will come over or we'll go someplace and people want to play Magic, but they don't have decks themselves, right? So we kind of find, occasionally you'll find one of these theme decks that's just like way better than the others. But for the most part, they're all reasonably near the same power level. And it kind of gives an opportunity for everyone to get at the same, just to play together and not be like, oh, you're playing your super awesome deck and I'm playing this poopy deck, or, you know, we're both going to play these decks that you know inside and out. That seems fair. So, I don't know. I like doing that kind of stuff. I think it makes it a lot of fun. And you could easily do that with these starter decks, too.
Right.
You know, start a little collection, build them all up. If you're like, it always seems like they slip in one high-dollar card in one of these somewhere. You don't know what it is necessarily. Like, I know Seed Rhino came out of one of the, I think it was a Versus deck, actually, but, you know, similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
It always seems to be one highly sought-after one, and if you just buy all of them, you're going to find it, and then you can go. So what else do we want to talk about? I haven't been brewing very much at all. We kind of talked about last week. I'm one of those guys that when I can pick up a card and look at a card, and or even flip through the book, there's something about it for me that when it comes to tactile contact with the card, then it starts to make more sense. I can look at cards online and kind of put some pieces together. But for the most part, I really need to touch it, lick it, kiss it, to really make something happen.
I'm kind of brewing right now. Just based off of the email that we got, I decided to start brewing while we were talking and going through the other...
Well, do we want to jump to the email then? Because I think we can really get deep in this, because I'm pretty impressed with the idea behind this deck.
Right.
And I can easily see some changes right off the top of my head. So yeah, let's get into this. How about that?
All right, sounds good.
So Matthias, a longtime listener and relatively frequent emailer. Let's see, just off the top of my head, and just kind of skimming through here, it looks like his 7th or 8th email. So we appreciate that. Keep sending them in. You're clearly one of those people who can look at a deck or look at the cards online and start brewing. And that makes the couple of shows before the cards actually come out a lot easier. So he sent in a green-based clues deck. Splashing blue and red. I guess I shouldn't say it's splashing red. I'd say it's pretty close to equal parts red. Would you say that?
Yeah.
I guess
red and
primarily
blue.
Green.
Yeah.
It's primarily green, but it's got a lot of good red cards in it. So the idea behind this deck really is to investigate. I want to say clue it up, but investigate. So it's built around two cards in particular. I'm trying to think what it's called besides Trail of Evidence. What's the other one?
Tireless Tracker.
Tireless Tracker's one. No, there's one other one. Maybe it is just Trail of Evidence that I'm thinking of. So Trail of Evidence, blue and two, whenever you cast for an enchantment, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, investigate. Of course, when you investigate, you put a clue into the battlefield.
Yep.
Tireless Tracker says whenever a land enters the battlefield, you investigate. And that's a green and two for a 2/3, I believe. No, a 3/2.
Yeah.
So basically, you're generating all these clues all the time. So you've got Explosive Vegetations, Nessa's Pilgrimage, Nessa's Renewal, theoretically Pulse of Marasa if there's a land in your graveyard. Sylvan Scrying to dig up a special land if you need it. All these things basically, you know, with the Trail of Evidence and or Tireless Tracker generates a lot of clues.
Right.
And then it uses these clues and the, I'm going to say this name all wrong, Griffher Aether Grid?
Griffher? Aether Grid?
I know it's an Aether Grid.
Yeah.
Refer Aether Grid?
Anyways.
I don't know. You tap two untapped artifacts, and it does one damage to target creature or player. So, you get one of these things down, you make three or four artifacts, and all of a sudden you're tapping artifacts to Lightning Bolt every turn.
Right.
And that costs you no mana, you just keep going. You just keep at it. I think that's pretty great. You're doing things like Mina, Din, Wildborn to play extra lands each turn. You got Amnath in here for, you know, like an alternate win condition. Say something weird happens and they blow up all of your Aether grids. You know, you got the Omnath as an alternate way to go. You've got a Dragonlord Atarka just because she's the biggest, fattest thing with evasion that's out there. A couple of Din Protectors because why not? Like, I kind of like this deck. I like the theme of this deck, but I definitely see some room for change.
Right.
So, before I kind of get in here, what do you think?
Well, you know, like I said, I've been brewing while we've been talking. I think that Byway Courier should go in here. That is the one where when it dies, you investigate, and it is a 3/2 for a green and two colorless. So a 3/2 for three that when it dies, it feeds your win condition. Magnifying Glass, it's the 3-drop mana rock that produces colorless. You can also pay 4 to
investigate.
Yeah, to investigate. I think Bound by Moonsilver should be in here. I was just writing these down, so I don't have all of them memorized because, well, the set's new.
Sure.
Well, let me look that one up really quick. But the ones that I wrote down, Bound by Moonsilver, Erdwall, Illuminator, Ongoing Investigation, Pack Guardian, Crawling Sensation, Olvenwald Mysteries, and Graphmole. The Graphmole is when you investigate, you gain 3 life. Or when you sacrifice a clue, you gain 3 life. And that's the 2/4 for green and 2.
So, I'm not saying you're wrong, clearly. But I think what you want to do, or what I would want to do with this deck, is I'd want to go more like what we did in built around the Landfall, taking advantage of, and I'm starting up Magic Online, so if you hear weird noises, that's what that is. Remember that green-white deck we built? Oh, excellent. We're scheduled for maintenance right now, so I guess I'm not looking at that deck. We had that green-white deck that I built around Ojutai's Exemplars.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of turned into a bigger sub-theme of the Landfall.
Yeah.
I would start with that, to be really honest. And I would start tweaking things around to include some of these cards in that deck instead of the other way around. So, like, I don't know if I would run Trail of Evidence and all this mana acceleration. I think I would run the Tireless Tracker and the Landfall cards. And then run... This way, I'm already going wide. I already have a theme that works. And then I just have this one Tireless Tracker that goes and gets work done. Isn't there a way to tutor up a creature now? In this set, I thought there was.
I don't know. But, yeah, see, mine, I'm splashing, I guess blue for the Erdwall Illuminator. So, when you investigate for the first time, investigate again.
Okay. So that would give you two investigates a turn?
Yeah,
no,
I mean, just
the first
one. Yeah, the first one. So, you know,
so
you investigate for the first time, and then you investigate again.
Right.
Yeah, an ongoing investigation. See, I went, like, you went the Landfall route. I'm going complete investigation route.
See, the other reason I bring it up is because I really like the Bygone Bishop. So basically, whenever you cast a creature spell with converted mana cost 3 or less, you investigate.
Okay.
And see, that already fits into the landfall deck because it's already filled with 3 drops and less. So you're running like the life gain guy for 1 mana. You're playing the 2/2 that landfalls and grows. You're running, you know what I mean? I wish I could pull the deck up on Magic Online right now. I don't have them all sitting in the sideboard. Or sitting in the thing. Maybe if I scroll far enough back, I'll find the deck on samusgrobo.com. But, like, in my brain, you're just... Is this it? Oh, this is your Amrath deck. Amrath deck. Amrath is a place in Dungeons & Dragons Online.
That's also not a card in Magic.
It's probably not. But yeah, I just... We called it challenge, right? We were challenging each other. Which I think we probably need to do again. I think we probably need to challenge... okay, here we go. Samus's OG Tigers on Player's deck. So Herald of the Pantheon is still in. Still costs less than 2. Blessed Spirits could easily become Bygone Bishops. Mana Gorger Hydra, same thing. Undergrowth Champions, same thing. Ojutai's Exemplars could easily become the Tireless Tracker. Silk Wraps are still in. Retreats are still in. Stasis Snares are still in. Retreat to Emeria, obviously still in. Starfield Nyx is still in. So, like, very little of this deck rotates out. I think even Evolving Wilds is still in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, very little of this deck actually moves around. And I think with, like I said, switching out the Ojai Exemplars and the Blessed Spirits for Bygone Bishops and Tireless Tracker will get the job done. And since we're already used to, like, fetching and doing work with another color, we could splash a couple of red sources pretty easily and put in a couple of the Aether Grids. And again, they're already enchantments, so they already kind of fit the theme of the deck. So I'm excited to fiddle with it. I think he's on to something here. Depending on the price, which currently looks like they're less than $3, I will probably grab a Magic Online playset of the Bygone Spirits. And what are the Tireless Trackers going for? You're not telling me. MTG Goldfish, save me. Save me, MTG Goldfish.
In the Bygone Bishop?
Yeah, the bishops are $2 each, give or take.
Yeah.
And the Tireless Tracker is around the $2 range as well. So I think for $8 and a couple of weeks, this deck is going to be sweet. Even sweeter than it is now, even though almost nothing of that deck rotated.
Right.
And remember, this deck is basically undefeated. I'm going to lose Master of the Unseen and Seeker of the Way.
Right.
Suspension Field, which again, Suspension Fields can easily be swapped out for the Moon, Bound by Moonsliver. Especially in the situation where you're making all these tokens with Retreat to Emeria as well as the other guys. Personally, I think we're probably onto something here. As for specific things to this deck, without getting too carried away, the one Sylvan Scrying for the Blooded Woodlands, Evolving Wilds, Mirror Pools, and a one Waste. I will tell you this, I've yet to have Mirror Pool really do heavy work for me.
Yeah.
It's basically just, I wish it would have come into play untapped almost every time I played it. It has just not gotten there. Also, I would probably go ahead and replace Dragonlord Urtarka with something like a...
Zendikar Resurgent?
I was going to say, Ulamog. Something a little bigger, a little fatter that hits a couple of things. But the rest of this deck, I think I like. I love the theme, right? Like, using Aether Grid is definitely one of those things that I kind of, you know, like, it was in my brain. I'm like, what can we do with all these clues? If we're going to make a million clues, what's the thing that we can do? And the ether grid was one of the things that popped in my mind. But in my brain, I was like, how do you do it? Well, Trail of Evidence, Tireless Tracker is great. Again, that Bygone Bishop is great. Is there a way to make clues in red that sits on the battlefield like that?
Red?
Yeah. Well, it seems like...
I think...
Green. I mean, white, green, and blue all have a three mana way to do that.
Yeah.
So, did they do the same thing in red? Is there like a three mana way to investigate by doing something? Do something cool, investigate?
I don't know. I'm scrolling right now.
Yeah, me too. Kind of scrolling. While you're scrolling, tell me, do you like this Geist Blast at all?
What's Geist Blast do?
It's a red and two for an instant that shocks. And then for a green and two, exile it from your graveyard, copy target instant or sorcery spell.
Right. The new staple in Storm decks.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a staple, but it's definitely a thing.
It will for four.
That's probably true.
I'm not seeing any investigate for red.
Yeah, I'm not... Maybe red doesn't get investigate. Maybe red is too aggressive for investigate cards.
Red is definitely too aggressive to be like, hold on, you guys, let's think about this.
And Rich is who am I supposed to kill?
Fuck, thank you. I'm sorry. Gonna have to edit
I'm not going to edit it. That's our one F-bomb, so...
All right.
Don't do it again. Okay. PG-13. You see a titty, touch a titty.
Yep.
That's the difference. PG-13, PG-17.
Well, and the difference between PG-13 and R is... You can have one F-bomb, but you cannot have two. Once you have two F-bombs, you will get an R rating. I don't think... No, there's no investigate.
Do we want to play... I think we do, right? In this deck, we want the Second Harvest. Oh, he's got one in here.
Where's his list at?
It's the very, very top of the...
Oh, right, okay.
Right above his entire email.
Yep.
So let me just kind of hit some of the high points of the email here. He does say, at the surface, this deck looks like a total nombo, with so many ramp spells without a clear ramp target. However, he does point out with Trail of Evidence, sorceries and instants make clues. With Landfall, Tireless Tracker gives you clues. And then out of the sideboard, you have the offshoots that Landfall gives you life. So basically, he's got 17 sorceries that put lands in the player into your hand, giving you massive amounts of life, except, again, the offshoots, I think, are located in the sideboard right now and not in the main deck. So it is difficult to get a ton of life that way. Clues can be token in to draw cards, obviously, or kept in play to make the engine work. The winning is mostly done via the ether grid, paying you one damage for every pair of clues every turn. You have the Dragon Lord, the Omnath, Molted Vortex on the sideboard, and a Groundskeeper. The fact that he considers a Groundskeeper a win condition kind of scares me, that this 1/1 creature for one is going to be the... I mean, I guess you pay two mana and you bring it back over and over and over again. So I guess that's fine. Like, you discard it and then you bring it back, you discard it, you bring it back. I just don't know how many times you can pull that off. You know, three mana to shock repeatedly forever. Maybe it's good enough. I'm not sure. Let's see. What else do we got here? He admits it'll probably need a lot of tuning. I'd like to fiddle with it and see how much. Does this deck have a thing that kind of estimates what this costs on Magic Online? It does not.
Well,
it just has a paper cost.
Well, no.
Oh, this is it. Yeah, this is online, right? Yeah, so this is, according to this thing, Now, granted, there's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, $25.
It's currently at $25 with, you know, Season of the Past, Second Harvest, The Journal, Trail of Evidence, Transverse, Tireless Tracker, all question marks. So, assuming these things stay at around $1 for the most part, you're looking at, you know, $25 plus another $12, $13, $14, $15, $16. So you're probably looking at $40 to buy this deck as it is on Magic Online, you know, give or take. And that's not too bad. So maybe. Maybe it's something that we could put together and play with on Magic Online. We kind of talked about your new schedule, and I just want to kind of hit mine real fast. We are reaching the end of the show here. But with my new schedule, I quit my full-time job. Well, I shouldn't say full-time job. I quit the job that I was doing that interrupted my evenings, keeping me from being able to do stuff. So now I am streaming every day. I start streaming currently at 9 o'clock in the morning. And depending on what's going on, what the schedule looks like for the day, I stream until, you know, with an hour break here, an hour break there, I stream until about 8 o'clock every night. So, not, you know, that's not all consistently done. Like I said, I typically stream in about an hour and a half to 2 hour increments.
Right.
Sometimes it's on Magic Online, sometimes it's Hearthstone, sometimes it's Heroes of the Storm, often it's Dungeons & Dragons Online. So there's a variety of stuff going on at twitch.tv/SamusGarobo. The important thing, and the reason I bring it up, is because now that Travis has a set schedule in the evenings, we are going to be able to stream together more regularly on certain things. So with a plan, Travis and I can do a draft together, or a sealed event, or join a Magic Online League and knock out 5 games, stream that, record it, put it out, over on YouTube. So if you are a fan of Two Trolls and a Brew, and hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you are, please jump over to twitch.tv/SamusGarobo and give it a like or follow, heart, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. So you can see when we're going online. It's definitely a big help. Also, the easiest way to know exactly what it is that we're doing at any given time is to go ahead and follow on Twitter. I'm Samus Garobo, all one word, SamusGarobo. Travis is, of course, TurtlePower319, and those would be very good things for being able to do things as well as helping us stream and get things going. Also, this gives us an opportunity. Travis has been trying to get me to play League of Legends again. I'm trying to convince him to play Heroes of the Storm, and one of us is going to have to cave, and it's probably going to be me.
Yep, most likely.
Most likely, because you're a stubborn bastard.
That, and I have more friends on League, and only like 3 on Heroes.
Oh, you would have a bunch on Heroes, though.
I doubt it.
Yeah, it would not take you very long to get a bunch of friends on Heroes.
Yeah, but I already have like real friends that play League.
Well, I mean, you would have real friends. Like, you have acquaintances. You know people who play Heroes. They play with me. There's probably 7 of them that play with me on play Heroes. So
compared to the you would, 30 you would, or so that I play with League?
Yeah, but all those guys are terrible. Not necessarily at League. I just mean in life in general.
No, well, I will.
Unless they're listeners to this show, in which case, I love you guys.
I don't.
You're the best.
They're terrible.
All right, let's see. Do we have anything else that we want to kind of throw out there? If not, I'm going to throw the email address to just kind of fill time while you think. The number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. You could send us an email just like Matthias. We love taking a look at decks, especially during like the 2 weeks or so before rotation change or a new block comes out, a new set comes out. Because, again, I have such a hard time visualizing new decks without actually touching cards and reading the card and knowing this is exactly what the card is going to do. So yeah, there's those things.
Okay. I can somewhat see the strategies. Like I said, when I was going over his list, I really like it. things just started clicking.
Yeah, when I see other people's lists, it's pretty easy for me to put things together. It's just when I'm looking at this list of the spoiler, it just is a thing. I was telling my friends, like, I finally was able to purchase a player's handbook. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm a big nerd when it comes to DDO and Dungeons and Dragons pen and paper. It's another thing that we do on twitch.tv/SamusGarobo is we play Dungeons and Dragons relatively often. And we switched to 5th edition not too long ago, and I was really struggling with the edition change. And I had a digital PDF that I was using, but my local game shop, where I continuously was ordering players, other people would come in and ask for it first. And I've always had a policy of, if you order something special for me, and another customer comes in and asks for it, sell it to that other customer first, I can wait.
Right.
So I've literally been waiting for this player's handbook, which seems like for 3 months now, and I finally got it. And there's a huge difference between my understanding, again, a PDF of the documents, and having the physical book. I can't explain it. It's weird. So I imagine next show, which will be after the pre-release, it'll be a totally different story. I'll be like, Travis, we have to build around this deck or this card, or we have to build around these two cards. They're amazing together. But for right now, I don't know. I guess we should wish everyone luck at the pre-release.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Unless you're playing against me.
Unless you're playing against him. So this is what I want to do. I want to do something a little bit different for today's Would You Rather, Travis.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have a funny
story. Are you not ready?
I have a funny story. So,
I have a funny story. I'm sorry.
One of the fans I play with, he has a playmat that he's, getting everybody that he likes to sign it because he's moving back to Hawaii. And he just wants to bring it for memories and everything. So,
and he's like, everybody here except for you.
Well, no, he's like, all right, just sign this and make it, PG-13 so I can, play with it, at events and everything. What is the one thing that will really...
Technically PG-13, but still...
Right, well, no, I wasn't going to do anything, that would potentially compromise it. So... I did something that we have been thinking about putting on a shirt.
Oh, yeah?
And I wrote, good luck, I hope you mold a 4.
Pretty sweet.
And for the rest of that night, he had to take mulligans.
Oh, so good.
Okay, now we can do whatever the thing is.
I love it. Speaking of those t-shirts, I will be working on those in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully we will have t-shirts. By the end of April. That is next month. We'll definitely have t-shirts by the end of April. Friday's April Fool's, bro.
Yep.
Oh, geez, that's pre-release day too. I have so many judge rulings. I'm like, oh yeah, no, you're totally right. April Fool's, boom.
April Fool's, get out, stupid.
All right, so for today's Would You Rather, I'm going to take a couple of rares,
okay,
right, and other cards, depending on the cost, and we're going to play Would You Rather Have in your sealed pool.
Okay.
So, Would You Rather Have Gareth's Masterpiece, which is a blue and a 3 for a 7/7 flyer. It gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. For a blue and 3, discard 3 cards, return it from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. Or would you rather have the new Jace, which is 5 mana, blue and 3 for a 5 loyalty planeswalker, +1, scry 1, then draw a card. -2, return target creature to its owner's hand. -8, you get an emblem. Whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell. Would you rather, Travis?
Well, I think I'd rather have the creature because with that Jace, you're gonna have to build around him. With that creature, it's just a bomb that you can get back.
Maybe, like, keep in mind, it's for every card in your hand, it gets -1/-1.
Right.
So, and it did cost 5 mana.
Right, it costs 5 for...
So if you have 5 or 4 cards in your hand,
mm-hmm.
it's a 3/3 for 5.
Yeah.
But if you have 4 cards in your hand, or 3 cards in your hand, which probably pretty close by then, it's a Sarah Angel in blue.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. I'm not going to say it's not. I don't know. I do not hate the Jace.
And if it gets countered, and you have 3 cards in your hand, at the end of their turn, you can pay 4 to have it into play tapped. And at that point, it's a 7/7 again.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So I'm trying to find a couple of bad ones here.
I thought the Jace was the bad one. I don't like how they're printing him so he's constantly in standard.
Well, I mean...
Give it a rotation. Just give it a break.
I mean, keep in mind that...
he's the most boring planeswalker they've created.
The most popular planeswalker.
That's because they make him the most powerful.
Well, they make him the most powerful because the blue color is what most people consider the powerful. You know, drawing cards and the interactive abilities.
Right, and, you know, I'm not saying, you know, he's not going to be powerful because he's blue. I'm just saying, like, bring out another Tamiyo. Bring out something else because...
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think we're going to see another Tamiyo pretty soon. Maybe.
Well, I mean, just...
We'll see.
Every single color has, you know, X amount of planeswalkers. And then blue has 2.
I mean, I don't know if that's true. I think there's a couple of blue planeswalkers.
Mono blue?
Well, I don't know about mono blue, but there are blue planeswalkers.
Yeah, Jace and Tamiyo.
No, there's also the blue-black one was just... Around
Ashiok,
you also have
Sarkhan,
Tezzeret, right? Like he's blue black, that version. What's the other? Is the not Sarkhan?
Yeah, Sarkhan is a 3.
Oh, Sarkhan's blue. Yeah, he's blue. No, I'm thinking Tasigur.
Tasigur wasn't a.
Is it Tasigur? Who am I thinking of?
Thinking of Sarkhan.
No, I'm not. It's been a couple of sets now. The one that Nicol Bolas, like, made his little bitch. We can say bitch,
right? Sarkhan.
No, it's not Sarkhan. The one that works with all the artifacts. Tezzeret.
Right, you just said that one.
Oh. Did I?
Yeah.
Like 8 times?
Yeah. Let's see, there's Dak Baden.
Yeah, he's another one. There's a lot of blue ones.
Yeah, but they're not like...
It's a matter.
They need a new mono blue planeswalker. One that's better than Jace. Because Jace is just...
So, you need to get the fairy out here.
His overall... Yeah, that would work. His overall character design is just boring.
Alright, well, let's hit another would you rather here. A bad one. So would you rather have Behold the Beyond? So black, and 5 for a sorcery. Discard your hand. Search your library for 3 cards and put those cards into your hand, then shuffle your library. Or Tiskaphobia.
I don't know why I said bad, because both of those cards are amazing.
No, both of these cards are pretty bad.
Both of these cards are just brilliant. Either...
I would not want either one of these cards in my sealed pool.
What?
If I got one of these in my sealed pool, I'd be like, oh, I cannot believe I got screwed.
If I got either of those, I would force that color. Like, okay, you're either going to kill both players in, like, 7 turns with Triska Kaleidoscope.
Crisp Triskaidekaphobia. Which I love Triskelisk. And I love Triskelion. Like, this should be a card that's right up my alley. The problem is, each player loses the game, or gains a life or loses a life. You're never going to get them where you want them to be.
You don't know that.
I feel very confident.
But
I feel confident that we'll never get them where they want.
Just the flavor of the card art should make you want to play it.
No.
Yeah, because it's Fear of the Number 13. Count all the number of things in that picture that have 13 in them.
Oh, jeez. I can't even see this artwork.
Well, zoom in. Enough.
Can I just pretend like I did it already?
Yeah, sure.
Man, amazing.
I would pick both of these to keep, and I would play both of them in my pool.
Oh, man. I want to play against you so bad with these cards in your pool. All right, so the last pair here. Now, these are both cards that we've either really liked or has a lot of interesting potential, especially in a sealed environment. So, Gold Knight Castigator, which is the 4 mana, red and 2, 4/9 Flying Haste Angel that deals the double damage to you.
Okay.
And your creature,
right?
Just this guy. Yeah, just this guy. Or the Flameblade Angel, which we talked about today, where it's 6 mana, red, and 4 for the 4/4 flyer. When a source that opponent controls deals damage to you or a permanent you control, this thing does 1 damage to that source's controller. So your creature takes damage, they're going to take a point of damage. Or this massive 4/9 flying haste monster. Like, 5 rounds of attacks are pretty easy. Especially when they have haste. So which one of these would you rather have in your pool?
I'd rather have the not 4/9 one.
The Flameblade Angel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to agree with you really badly. But at the same time, I want to disagree with you because I want to disagree. I really like this 4/9 in the sense that
it's going to be great with Assault Formation.
Well, that too. But, I mean, just the idea of a repeat, you know, it's a Lava Axe every turn. Like, what's going to kill this thing? Like, they have to have something that has 5 power that flies to kill this thing.
Right.
Or 2 creatures.
One of which is 2 power, the other one's 3 power.
Right, like, to get to 10 damage on this, or to 9 damage on this thing, it's going to be really difficult. And the fact that as haste comes down on turn 4, you can just go to town. Like, this thing on turn 4, attack. Like, I don't understand how you lose the game if you have this thing in your pool. On the same side, I mean, other than they just race you, which is a possibility. Except this thing comes down on turn 4. The problem is that this thing comes down late. Like, you're both kind of in your top deck mode. You're at 5. They're at, you know, let's say 10 or more than 2 attacks, you know? And they're like, well, I guess I better just push, you know, because I'm going to be dead in 2 turns, so I better just push. And then that one thing that gets through does lethal to you.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm on the fence, but I think I'd rather have the Castigator, just to tell you you're wrong.
Well, I mean, everyone's entitled to a wrong opinion, and that just happens to be yours.
Well, I mean, that's good. I'm glad that we can agree. I'm glad we're on the same page. I did have one more picked out here. So the Deathcap Cultivator, which is the green and a colorless for the 2/1 that taps for a black or a green.
Okay.
Or the Cliftorif Rite, which is a green and a colorless. All your creatures have tapped to add 1 color mana to your mana pool. So, a special Llanowar elf, or all of your creatures are Birds of Paradise in addition to the everything else? In a limited environment. I think this is an actual tough choice.
I think I'd go with the first one, the one that makes a black or green.
The 2/1 creature?
Yeah, because also, late game, it'll have Death Touch.
You're right. It does have Delirium, get Death Touch. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I like the idea of all my creatures having tap for any color. Man, we're just not agreeing now.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's going to be one removal spell to get rid of your mana dort.
Sure.
I mean,
I just like the idea of an enchantment that does this effect. Basically opens up my entire pool to me. I would go crazy around like a 5-color deck or 3 colors at least if I had this enchantment on my pool. Alright guys, well unfortunately I have really got to go right now. So Travis, sign us off so I can go poop my pants. Otherwise I'm just going to hang up right now.
Wait, so what you're telling me right now is if I don't sign us off...
I'm going to say the words troll on, and I'm going to stop the podcast in about 4 seconds.
So what you're saying is, if I don't say this, you're going to poop your pants?
No, I'm going to end the podcast right now to end this show. So I don't poop my pants.
I'm not sure. I don't want
to. All right, troll on, everybody.